Any questions?
Yeah. Are we refusing to, rather pardon me, ignoring the communication line under the heading of the important factor that would be an inactive or an inaction acknowledgement? Acknowledgement without action or returned motion?
No, not even acknowledgement.
Perceive it as to acknowledge it.
Oh, yes, but this is the trick. You mustn't perceive it. You have to learn how to look holes through things. You can learn to ignore a communication line, but it's a little bit of a trick. You have to look straight through it.
This involves distances and close. So do you want any havingness at all on it as another kind of flow or not?
Necessity for havingness is a necessity for communication. Objects. Necessity for havingness is the necessity for terminals with which to play a game. And that's the havingness is a bundle of mismanaged communication. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I know somebody who's got a sort of deal, push the same horse within a space about yay far from the front of the body or the rear, get into about here, and things start to jangle. What would be going on?
Well, you tell me.
Well, in terms of, I started thinking this in terms of body anchor points. I kind of think they were unusually far out for this society. You know?
He's gotten into one of these bundles of no communication.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that a thetan, to be alive at all, must be communicating somewhat. The fact that he starts communicating is enough to excite and upset any mass he contacts. He will upset any mass he gets near or around.
What?
You talk about the universal solvent. This is a thetan.
Chemical reactions take place forthwith.
Yes. So that's what happens. He gets in toward one of these ridges. He gets in toward a ridge. The ridge starts to run out. And there we go. Why do you think it is that simply looking at something will make it vanish as far as the thetan is concerned? We know that this will take place. All right, that's because he goes into communication with it, and it is a mismanaged communication. To be an it, to be a something, we must have had a mismanaged communication of one kind or another. That's why we say God built this universe. Now that is a mismanaged communication. Per se, it's right there. God did not build this universe. And so that is mismanaged. So there's the wrong point of origin. See, some point of origin is mocked up. And so on. A very fascinating thing starts to occur for the individual if you start to have all the places where you thought of God being start saying hello. Fascinating things occur with the individual. His life as a bishop runs out, and oh my gosh. So this is a mismanaged communication. It evidently results in mass. I won't go so far as to say that there isn't mass. There isn't mass. A mass could exist, you see, that isn't mismanaged communication. The oddity is every time you go into communication with mass, it to some degree deteriorates.
At which level could you start running this if you have a figure that comes into you and you can see exactly what it is that he needs, but would you run into the six steps?
You said it. I might omit the last two steps, remedy of havingness
and
spotting spots. I might omit them. But I would certainly do some HC, and I'd do some duplication. I wouldn't be able to resist doing some duplication on him. I want to see him sweat just a little bit, because show him how bad it can get before I make him better, just to impress him more. He wouldn't be impressed with the processing. Yes, Miriam.
Ron, do I understand if you were doing that, we'd say, for instance, have your shoulder say hello to your middle of the back, and then have the middle of the back say hello to the shoulder. Then if he said, my stomach has a somatic, you'd say, have the stomach say hello to the back.
No. Don't change a process, Miriam, which is creating a change.
I wasn't sure whether it was like a finger thing. Observe my finger.
No, it isn't. Here's the weirdity about this. Once you have started to make an area communicate, why, for heaven's sakes, go on and make it communicate as long as you get change. Now, you as an auditor could make a mistake on which area you wanted to have start communicating. That's why I've given you this talk about the back of the body. It would be a mistake to make masses in front of the body start communicating. Why? Because the back ridge would just keep discharging. and you would have everything running through the body, and there isn't any reason to chew up the body when you can just start in back of the body, you see.
Well, the rest was clear, but I was not certain.
That's right. You just would, if you started in saying, shoulder, say hello to the front of the back, the swallow of the back. The swallow of the back, say hello to the shoulder. If you were going to keep this up for any length of time, that would be the process which you elected. You would simply, regardless of whether or not his right arm went numb or the top of his head flew off or if he flew into an epileptic fit, you would simply continue that particular process. You would find out that the reason why all these other things took place is you were displacing an energy mass. Again, it was going over that way. Okay.
Good.
Yes, Tim.
There's another game, too, apart from just fighting communication and doing things like that. There's a game of instigating communication from another source, and then nothing there. You ignore it, and then you instigate it. When it sort of starts to taper off, then you turn it on again, and then nothing there. This is, how do you run that out? I mean, I know people...
That's the finest trap in the world.
Yeah, it's another game. How do you run it out?
Just with a communication formula.
The same way.
Mark up communication origins. You see, you don't have to run as you're running. Make this very clear. You don't have to run a balanced communication formula at all while you're running the preclinator. You can just have him sit there and say, okay, mama. And this becomes brutally horrible, but it certainly makes him aware of the fact that something can happen. And mind you now, mama hasn't said anything for him to say okay to. So what? The lines are all aligned and imbalanced anyway, and you have to remedy the scarcity of any and every part of a line anyhow, so it doesn't matter much where you start in remedying scarcities. You can go on and remedy one thing, like acknowledgement. You can remedy acknowledgement for hours. Well, eventually acknowledgement will stop getting you any change. The way it'll stop getting you change is make something tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, and it'll stick. No change. It just sticks. You've just gotten now to a plus factor of acknowledgments, and there were an awful lot of originated communications or answers or something sitting around there, which are now all jammed up. Now, as you run okay, mama can be an answer, and it'll flip from answer to acknowledgement, from answer to acknowledgement, from answer to acknowledgement. But don't think that your preclear has an abundance of communication to a degree that he will ever find enough okay mamas, you see. He won't drain the bank of hello from mama simply by saying okay mama. This is one of the oddities about this process. The bank doesn't automatically sit up and go into communication. See, it doesn't automatically sit up and say, well, this fellow's saying okay mama, so therefore what should be here are all these hellos. The bank, you see, is a bank because it doesn't understand communication. And that's why it's a bank. So it can't defeat you. It can't defeat you as an auditor. Huh?
That's definition of any kind of bank I've
heard. Yeah. I did a funny thing one time after I had made a preclear sit there and say, okay, mama, for a long time. And I had the preclear say, okay, mama, about 50 or 60 times. Why, I changed tactics on the thing. I recognized the preclear was fighting. He was going to get out of control here one way or the other. And the technique seemed to be over its major calamities. I mean, it didn't seem to be anything very desperate there. It was at first. The preclear spilled a little grief and so forth. And then no other manifestation took place for about 15 or 20 okay mamas, you know. And then I started remedy games simply by saying, well, now have... because I was being very specific, which you shouldn't be. I was just trying to test the technique in all directions. Have Mama invent some games for you. And I got an electronic explosion, just as though I'd fired a firecracker off in front of the guy's face. Electronic explosion occurred. Have you ever had one of these things occur? Bang! What had happened there, I guess, was just we had imbalanced it to a point, and just the additional thought of Mama inventing another game, such as eat your cereal or something, put him entirely out of control. We got a nice Carmelag on it, though. But regardless of what happens between the posing of the question, the receiving of the answer, you go on and flatten the comm lag, so he did. Bang. One of the things that can happen. All right, any further questions?
Oh, a couple of fellows have been coming up line under process, and you were saying about going out and getting into an accident. These guys have managed one way or another to get themselves assaulted physically by some psychotic in the environment. I'm wondering what, if anything, the auditor could have or should have done to smooth this out before it happened.
Remedy games. Anytime they start picking on a psycho is a game. This is one of the last ditch games.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have no responsibility for anything, and everything is responsible for me. Brother, that's just the last ditch sort of game. We got one out here now who is a rational psychotic. This kid out here is a rational psychotic, by the way. He knows what he's doing. He also knows how horrible it would be if he suddenly got sane and was sent back to wherever he was supposed to be before he went psychotic as a solution to where he was supposed to be. I'm sure that he was in some sort of a school, boys' school or something of this sort, which was too horrible for him to witness. And I think he carefully cultivated psychosis in order to get into that.
You gotta get out of the Army in Section 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This guy will snap out of it. We'll win. But do you get the point now? If anybody's comm lagging on this one, do you get the point of running HC? Terminals. A fellow with his hidden terminals and so forth, with his attention fixated upon them. Scarcity of games, which is also a scarcity of terminals. There can be a scarcity of any part of a game. And he goes over and starts touching the walls. He discovers the terminals still exist. Yes, Tam?
You know that variation, locate your body, locate the wall. If you run that this way, that wall, you're looking at thing again, aren't you? Does that run it out too, or should you revert to
doesn't
that?
Do too well. I tested it on Jonathan Kenworthy. I had Jonathan Kenworthy running HC with his back to every object he was locating for some little time. And he was trying to read deep significance into what I was doing. He was coming up the line much more slowly than straight HC. Uh-huh. The reason for this is the back ridge is a substitute ridge. It's a substitute ridge. And as he tries to locate the wall in front of him, he finds there's a bigger, solider ridge in front of him. The back ridge stops discharging.
So mechanically, this business of osteopathy and chiropractic and the back and sides and so forth, mechanically would be communication vulnerability on that. That's why I get the results.
Anytime you get a therapy with a loose wheel in it, you got trouble. And what we've been doing here for some time in Dianetic Scientology is locating loose wheels. Where are the accidentals? Well, we found out that acknowledgement was an accidental. See, I mean, some auditors did it, some auditors didn't do it. Auditors who did it got better results than auditors who didn't do it. You acknowledge every time the pre-clear touches the wall, that's fine, some auditors would say, and so forth. Well, it wasn't the fact that he was interested, it wasn't the fact that he sounded alert, or it wasn't the fact that he was paying attention, it wasn't any of these facts, it was just the fact that it was an acknowledgement, of which there was a great scarcity. And as long as he didn't acknowledge, it simply created greater and greater and more scarcity for the pre-clear in terms of acknowledgments. And so this auditor would then, whatever he get the pre-clear to gain on a mechanical process, would cause the pre-clear to lose some of, so the case, by no acknowledgement. So we get a slow progress of the case. All right, that's a loose wheel. See, this one, you've got to tell the auditor, acknowledge specifically what the pre-clear just did or said. And that's fine. Makes it rough on an auditor for a while, by the way. He's kind of scarce on these things himself. And he starts to run things out the second he starts doing this. So an auditor's liable to start doing this and then stop doing this while he's auditing pre-clears, you see. He's an idea. All right. Now, we take something like chiropractic. Anytime any science has said, or any practice has suddenly said, well, now this is absolutely it, and we have reached an unobtainably high a thing, and we are at this unobtainable point, you knew damn well that there were some loose wheels left somewhere in it. Now, as demonstration of this, we know more about the mind than anybody on this planet has to date. All right. And we can find loose wheels? Just get the idea here. I mean, the amount of research and investigation which has gone on here, the amount of practice which has gone on, the amount of forward look which has gone on, the very inventive, alert attitude toward how this is done on the part of everybody doing this, you see, is to a point where at this stage of the game, to have some loose wheels, like the auditor must acknowledge, tells you that something that leveled off God knows when, chiropractic, osteopathy, Swedish massage, Lord knows when these things leveled off. But they were way back when they did. Loose wheels. You'd say the proportion was 89 to 1. So these boys are in there. Now, I'm just getting to this point on what you stimulated there on that question. You've got your chiropractor, and get this one carefully, who is simply manipulating the guy's back. And then you've got your chiropractor who is talking to the fellow and putting his attention on his own back. And between these two chiropractors, you would have a winner and a loser. So we have a chiropractor who's down here, and he's a very orderly fellow, and he's a nice guy, and he's quite sincere and everything, and he just snaps guys' spines and fixes them up and so on, and he never gets any results. Nothing ever happens, and his preclears, his patients, his subjects, whatever you want to call them, are entirely out of gear all the time, and they drift away from the art of chiropractic. And then we've got this chiropractor who says, now, that feel a little better now? Where is it exactly? By the way, I remember a person who was very mad at the chiropractor because he never asked her where her spine really hurt. You know? So he says, now, where does it really hurt? Now, really, is this the area here? Oh, a little lower, is this it? How about that now? Okay, now do you feel that? You feel that? All right, now just brace yourself there a moment because we're going to do something here now. Good, snap, you know. Now how's that? Is that a little better? Does that feel a little better? Well, how about this up here now? You get a chiropractor who's talking this way. He's doing what? He's laying on hands, see? And he's calling the patient's attention every time, bang, 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 and of course this person's going to get well. They're going to not maybe not get all the way well, but they're certainly going to feel a lot better. So look at this loose wheel. That's a heck of a loose wheel. That is, put your attention on it. It's the loosest wheel there. See? So we have all over the shop practices in the quote healing arts, unquote, where the practitioner may be doing the technique exactly as given, according to chiropractic or osteopathy or some such thing, and is getting no results. And man is liable to get suspicious after a while of all this sort of thing. Superstitious. Now, I'm willing to make you a bet. I'm willing to make you a bet that there are at least 1,000 loose wheels in Dianetics and Scientology. I'll make you a bet that there are. But in view of the fact that we can produce the results that we can produce, it's fairly certain that the amount of tension on the subject is not necessary anymore. I mean, we don't have to be real tense about this. I would say 2 years ago, we had every right to be damn tense about this. See, what the hell are the loose wheels around here? I mean, what is being done that causes a result, and what is the difference, and so forth? And we could sit around and speculate and worry about this with good right, because auditors were not getting uniform results. This is why I look at auditors to tell me if we are an arrival point. Are there other things we haven't described? Are there things going on which we haven't delineated? Are there any of these incidentals, so on? It's a very important thing. But I would say offhand, the tension is fairly well off of this. Right now, there must be some kind of a loose wheel in the treatment of psychosis. I can tell you that, for the good reason that I run a psychotic and they come up, bing, see? I mean, right up. It's a steep climb. It's burner wide open on a jet plane, see? And another auditor runs the cycle, and they come up, fine, quick. And another auditor runs the cycle and evidently does exactly the same thing that I do and this other auditor did, and the cycle sits there. Huh? No jet planes. What? See?
Some of them are failing to acknowledge the Conlang Yak in any way, or acknowledging and firing in another question instead of simply saying, mm-hmm, and waiting, or repeating the same question.
Could be, could be.
They're doing this.
Could be.
Well, it's basically
like you say, where's your foot?
Well, now that could be a loose wheel. For instance, I always have lots of dogs and kids and live trees and things like that around where I am usually, and I'm always talking to them regardless of whether they are really in communication or not. Cat walks up, I get more cats in good solid communication. They walk up and they say, and something like that, and I say, meow, and they look at me and they get puzzled about the whole thing, and they'll finally say, meow. And I'll say meow, and every time they say meow, I'll say meow as long as I'm around. And it becomes a very silly proceeding. I start walking any place outside, and these cats will start, any stray cat in the neighborhood is liable to start popping up and come over and look at me very, very alertly and intelligently and ask me whatever it is in cat language. I don't know. kids that come around and they say, I've noticed this with parents. You've probably got a real good point there. Because kids will come around and they'll say, jabber, jabber, wog, wog, yabba, 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 and you say, my golly, is that so? And they'll say, yabble, yabble, jabber, jabber, wabba, wabba, and you say, holy cats, no. And they say, jabber, jabber, wabble, 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 jabber, jabber, jabber. And well, I say, well, okay, that's the way it is. And walk on, they're perfectly satisfied. And I have been watching people around kids, and the kid says jabber, jabber, woggle, woggle, and the person pays no attention to them, what they're saying. So the kid then starts getting on a stuck flow.
Clamors for acknowledgement.
Oh, they get frantic.
Yeah.
They get frantic. And parents wonder why these kids have got to climb all over them all the time and mess up the furniture and spoil everything and knock everything down and so on, when it's obviously, just as you said, it's a thirst, a craving for acknowledgement or originated communication.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want any trouble from a kid, for God's sakes, always say hello when you see him. How are you?
Another mechanical thing. An auditor, if he isn't damn careful around the cycle, or for that matter, a sick person, people like this, commits continuously auditor's breaches by not being there physically. It works this way. You know how the old wooden spokes on a car wheel disappear when the car is moving? Well, I'm moving at my normal rate, disappear from the psycho as long as I do this, or for a very sick person. I'm not there, I'm invisible. He'll lose me, it takes him God knows how long to find me again when I've done this, just purely on mechanics.
What do you do? Talk too fast or move too fast?
Talk too fast or move too fast and you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You slow it down to even without body mimicry or anything like that.
Well, when you start working at a rate of speed around a room, this is true of the normal person, now that you've mentioned it, they stop communicating to you. To that degree, you're gone.
Yeah.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Not only that, but you're lost, and if the guy is just people, is a devil on location, if you don't immediately relocate yourself, he'll sit there, just wondering where. We saw that with a very out of communication child. The same sort of thing with psychos. I notice people go away without saying, I'll be back, or where they're going, or they take the guy around and don't even offer an opportunity to say, well, now at least I know where you're taking me.
Duplication.
Duplication adds to great certainty on this. They always know they're going over to the bottle.
Yeah. I mean, the auditor has to duplicate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the auditor does have to duplicate very markedly. By the way, in telling whether or not a psychotic is psycho or not, there are some very obvious points. One of them that is a common manifestation that they don't know is a giveaway. is that the utter refusal to duplicate an action twice. For instance, you're running 8C on them, and they've already touched the wall once, and they're not going to touch the wall again. You should recognize this. You should have them touch a lamp, actually, or something entirely different, which they will duplicate again, and then by the time you get them around to the wall, once more, they have forgotten this, and they will do it again without feeling to duplicate it. But this complete, utter unwillingness to duplicate, obsessive, is a definite sign of a cycle. Now, here's the difference between us. We had to answer this yesterday. We had actually to answer this question bluntly. Are we looking at opposing cycle or an actual cycle? Is this cycle mocked up simply as a cycle and knows it very well, knows extremely well, or is he actually nuts? Does he have such a vested interest in psychosis that he has to continue this and knows it? And the answer to that is no. Why? Because of two things. One, the individual will not duplicate an action. Not any single action will not be duplicated. The other one is this individual masturbates in public, which is a definite psychotic mark. If an individual were simply mocking it up, he would not do either of these two things. He would get silly on them in some degree or another, or he'd get random on them, you see, and obsessively he'd start to talk to you about, I just have to touch this wall again, you know. He would slip, skid in this. You, being specialists in this particular field, wouldn't really be able to be fooled if you looked over some of these factors. Look them over carefully. Many people will mock up psychosis in the service. We had a lot of boys who were nervous in the service. And they would mock up psychosis. And then they would proceed not to be psychotic. One of them who was busy being psychotic was obviously not psychotic at all because he knew who he was mad at. He was mad at the executive officer. And he came up with a 7-inch knife to cut the executive officer's throat and chased him round and round and round officer's country, or passageways, and so forth. And he continued to talk about doing something to the executive officer and so forth. This guy was not psycho, he was mad. Got the difference? Why? In the first place, he knew who the executive officer was, and he knew where he was. This is a dead giveaway. Now this guy starts to plead how nutty he is. Ding, ding. He's not nutty. He got mad. He got revengeful. There was adequate cause for this also. A leave had been canceled for this person so he could go home, and his wife was ill. You see? So this thing was all reasonable and all rationalizable. And the target of the individual was not even vaguely confused. So if we say that psychosis is irrationality, he has immediately disobeyed this. He came out of this manifestation at once. That Doc Braff, who was rooming with me, was navigator on this particular bucket of bolts, and I had taken in the doctor out of charity. Wanted somebody to talk to, and he had very bad quarters, and I had very good quarters, and so I had moved him upstairs. And the patients used to come in, and they didn't much care whether I treated them or the doc treated them. He didn't much care either. Only I told him if I ever caught him navigating, changing the course of the ship, I'd slip him some of his own CC pills in his ice cream. And so we had a very good understanding on this. So we had approximately two psychos a week on that ship. And I got pretty well practiced in looking this over. And of course, at that time, I was not very far advanced along this sort of thing, but had done quite a bit of work in this line. Doc Braff, on the other hand, had never been trained at all, as few medical doctors have been, on this subject. And so we used to hold courts on these boys. You know, I'd be sitting up there doing nothing, Doc Braff would call them up, and we'd convene a board. Of course, this was highly illegal sort of a board. It is not called for in naval regulations, but if we decided he was nuts, he was nuts. That was that. And some of them really were nuts, and those were the manifestations that were quite common. But the common denominator of all such manifestations is irrationality, non sequitur causation, inability to select out any actual target. And when you had an inability to select out actual targets, you would have gotten this boy who was going to cut up the executive officer, choosing out the chief machinist, insisting he was the executive officer, you see. You would have gotten this, certainly. This was just lead pipe cinch. He would have mistaken the executive officer. That'd be the first thing he would have done. Actually, the second I said to this boy, well, that was a good try. It was a good try. And you realize that you're probably going to Portsmouth for 7 years now in accessories, be reduced to apprentice seaman, and you're all through with the war, and so on. So you have won to that degree. But of course, this guy said, oh, now look. I turned around to Doc Brass, and Doc Brass said, very, very good, very, very good. That's fine, that's fine. What will we do with him now? Due to the fact both Doc Braff and I recognized as the causation of the psychosis in the crew was the behavior of the executive officer. It was just enough to drive any men who were under tension. The trouble with that type of service, the 5th Amphibious Force, is there's a great deal of action occasionally. And the rest of the time, why, it's not even hurry up and wait, it's just wait. And the oddities of behavior on the part of such men, particularly if they've been away from the States for, let's say, 2.5 years. They haven't had any shore liberty. They haven't associated with women to any degree. They've just been out there. They're real daffy. They start doing weird things. Strange customs are suddenly seized upon. They start wearing a single earring or something of this character. Men in the 5th Amphibious, by the way, you probably saw some of them during the war. They'd hit the beach over here. They were wearing an earring, usually a star, a five-pointed star. But their behavior in general had driven so far away from anything acceptable that the task of telling a psychotic in the midst of this was Herculean. Impossible. Oh, by the way, the other establishing thing is he did not hurt the executive officer, and every opportunity to do so, and did not hurt him. He still had the responsibility. All he did was want to scare the hell out of him for the benefit of the crew. We, by the way, transferred him over to boat group. That is all we did to him. Well, we gave him a summary court and docked him a whole lot of pay, which he couldn't spend anyhow. Transferred him over to the boat group as coxswain of the leading vessel. So he didn't last the war. Well, anyway, in this society at this time, you very well know what an average behavior is, you see. It's not an artificial atmosphere. It's an atmosphere to which you are very well accustomed. And as such, the departure from the average with the inability to notice presence or select targets can then be attributed as psychosis. Guys are not smart enough to mock these things up. They don't know enough about psychosis to mock these things up.
When a fellow mocks up the psychosis, and he must have done eventually, wouldn't you, the minute that the psychosis as such, the mock-up as such, or enough parts of it were either enforced or inhibited, wouldn't you have it going?
He goes the rest of the way. One, a very amusing thing was the case of a person who was given a cycle, a Section 8, something like that, out of the Army. He was had originally, because the Army was so antipathetic, he's a medical doctor, the Army was so antipathetic toward him, and he didn't like the Army enough, so that he went down and very carefully studied Rorschach and studied it down in the library thoroughly enough so that he could pass an incontrovertible psychotic Rorschach, and then did enough peculiar things to get himself shoved into a Rorschach test, and when the Rorschach test was given, exactly represented it to be a psychotic result, you see, and at that time was given the heave-ho. This boy had done this just to serve himself, you see. In other words, he got out of it simply because he didn't like it. He didn't had up to that moment any concern about psychosis. He immediately became worried the second he was shoved out about his mind, started to go a little bit potty, and every single one of these manifestations, every single one of them, began to show up. And they were the Rorschach is quite unreal, by the way. Zombie, Rorschach, all the rest of these things are real bum tests. Never count on them. We find him exactly dramatizing everything he had read in the book was psycho. And I got him over his psychosis very neatly. I didn't make him into a more cooperative individual or many other things, but I got him over it by running out all of his study of and acceptance of these psychotic manifestations so he could get out of the army. And I ran those as engrams. And I ran them right straight on through, over and over, grind, 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 grind. Got interested in the fact that he had actually condemned himself to his own manifestation. Here you have the fellow has to accept this game before it will become a real game, and before a game becomes subconscious or unconscious, in other words, unreal. By the way, do you realize that just recently we've cleaned up what this unconscious is? It is a too long run, completely buried game terminal of some sort or another, which is no longer real to the individual. And this manifestation can get into such a state, and it starts in at the moment the terminal is created. And of course, the moment he was released from the army, there was no further use for this game. But remember, it was a game. So he had to hold on to the terminal to kid with it, and then because it was not acceptable socially at all, particularly from a medical doctor, he then had to give it a shove, and instead of disposing of it, he hid it. And of course, we then had obsessive conduct, dramatizing the game, and so on. We find out that every manifestation a person's got is going this cycle.
Well, I wonder if you could take a guy who spun it and assume that at some time or other he must have mocked up his spin. I don't care where it was on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Find the precipitating individuals, let's say, whoever enforced it, whoever inhibited it, probably the latter. Suppose your auditor went in there and put on a fairly good act of being that person, but we're in full comm cycles in one fashion or another.
Very possible. Very possible as a treatment. As the one frailty of representing death instead of life, mm-hmm. That'd be the only thing that it would mitigate. Well, we're validating still a suppression of his psychosis. But it is very much worth a test. It would make him look at it. It might bring it out into the open. All kinds of things might occur.
It's sort of like an actor who's having a ball about something. Let's say he's playing Hamlet. Mm-hmm. I don't suppose it's ever been done. But you could certainly be real recognizably Hamlet without getting into the rest of the liabilities of the
film.
To someone who's Hamlet.
Every single actor or actress who plays a psycho part, the scarcity of roles for an actor is gorgeous. And where you have an actor or an actress who hasn't had enough roles or has gone for some years without roles, they will stick or fix in that. And so we get Vivian Leigh. We get Gloria Swanson. See Vivian Leigh with her streetcar named Desire. Gloria Swanson with Sunset Boulevard. So this was enough to tip me off a little bit. So I started looking over the roles which some of these people had played immediately before they went potty, and they were all psycho roles. And I can tell you from this, just as a prediction, that would have some validity, there's a great deal of probability that Humphrey Bogart is going to tip over his apple cart in the very near future.
He's had a lot of roles, so he didn't have trouble getting roles.
But this is the one thing which would argue against this, the one thing which would. But nevertheless, he has gone into this, and there's one thing very bad about this. Caine Mutiny was a very successful picture. That's a win. So it's off game again. See? You get everything coming off game. When you get a win, you get a lose. See? Equally off game. And equally, you get the terminals first being kept around or hidden. The lose is immediately hidden, but not abandoned. See?
Have you noticed that Ed Robinson's kid has been arrested a couple of times for robbing a taxi driver?
No. What was the background on this?
The old man has played nothing but crime roles.
That's right. That's true. A kid is certainly mocking himself up to be acceptable. It is safe to do and be what your parents do and be. I am working that one to death. I am working that one to death. It's a fantastic little trigger by which to flip a behavior pattern. Part of people in your vicinity. You let them discover that you find it is awfully safe to do something and very unsafe to do something else by yourself doing it. Mm-hmm. Obviously doing it. And you will find out that they will learn by mimicry. And they will snap to it very fast. It just doesn't take any time. I mean, it's one of these very, very quick ones. You walk over, you find some kid's been tearing up flowers. All you have to do is not call their attention to it at all. You just walk over and start petting the flowers, being very gentle with them, and looking at them, and so forth. The next thing you know, the kid leaves the flowers alone thoroughly. If you said to the kid, don't touch those flowers anymore, crack, see, we'd bring them right in on a terminal. But training by example. I've even used this a couple times lately around the office by discovering that it was very unsafe to do something. Real tricky.
You know, we've been talking about games. What are we going to talk about acting? Some more.
Game requires a terminal. Mm-hmm. A terminal requires a role. Doesn't it?
Yep.
One of the more interesting processes, which was dredged up here in the last 6 months, has never been relayed or used till I mention it to you right now, is name some romantic roles. It's almost as good as inventing some games. It's a fabulous thing. I mean, it's fabulous. Name some romantic roles.
Concerning that romantic roles, there's a game. Do you I asked someone if they were kissing their wife, who would be doing it? So they started wisecracking, you see. And they said, I'm a grandfather, I'm a mother. You know, just being funny. About 5 minutes, Humphrey Bogart.
Right.
Then I got the one answer. Me. I said, fine. Who would be doing it if you were doing it now? Oh, here I go again. That's the one thing, nowadays. Sure. Nobody has ever themselves in a romantic situation because they know they wouldn't be acceptable.
Well, this invents some romantic roles, inhibits the fellow from scraping the bank clean. And inventing games inhibits him from that. You'd find that this would run, it's real good. You find it run faster. You said, now mock up a good person to kiss your wife. Now invent another person who would be a good person to kiss your wife. You find out a guy would have a rough time with this process. Huh?
Acceptance levels
of
chew in there.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Somebody?
With what? With roles?
Blackness. Could you do that? Invent somebody to be black?
Oh, yes, but at the same time, blackness is an absence. Blackness is an absence of communication. That's the end of it. Mm-hmm. That's a technical definition you can use. Blackness is an absence of communication. So it's, of course, an absence of terminal and roles. Well, okay, guys. We have kept you way over, and I hope that you can get on with this game a little bit hotter now. Actually, such a process invents to a very marked degree the understanding of an auditor in using it. Although you will hear me giving out this process, even giving out these various angles of it, remember that the people listening to this are not under training. They're not under any responsibility to learn anything. They are not, in addition, using it actively in practice sessions. You get the idea. And in addition to that, people who are rather out of communication have a tendency to fight a communication formula. One of the best ways that I would know of to learn this would simply to just process the hell out of it on other people and get it processed pretty well, and a tremendous number of considerations, way in addition to what I have told you, are bound to show up. You can get a good subjective reality on any of this stuff. Nothing is easier than getting a good one. Now, I invite you to do something in your processing just as a test of processing, regardless of whether it louses up the case or not. This we don't care about, but just do it as a test. I want you to melt down or make vanish at least one item, such as a ridge or a swelling or an abrasion. This, of course, I know is validating something bad. We don't care about that. In the preclear, at least one small item, so that you actually can see this thing go by the boards. Got that? I want you to actually see something disappear. Okay. You have to pick out something, not something general, like taking somebody's weight down or something like that, but just pick out something. Now, you can change the shape of a person's face almost at will with this process. You might even get in there sort of on a plastic surgery basis and completely remake somebody to look exactly like something or other by running the process just so long here and just so long there. It's almost molding. I want you to get this certainty on it if it's obtainable for you simply by processing something about the preclear. Now, this will make you, as an auditor, put you in a critical role, you understand, by picking out something. This immediately tells you preclear that you... that you have found a blemish. But I wouldn't say reduce his head. He probably needs it. Okay? And anything I've been teaching you here now goes as a process. I've been teaching you about games, even romantic roles. Remember, unromantic roles. See, that's two-way south. Process toward life, process toward communication, process toward ability. You process toward those three things, you win. You process in some other direction, you lose. Okay.